Saints across, Brother Wilson. Okay. Good morning, Saints. Greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that song that was just sung a while ago, there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's a wonderful privilege for us to be here again this morning. There are many who were around last week Sunday, and they are not here today. And I'm not saying that they're not in the building, but they are not alive today. As I was listening to the news last night and this morning, all you can hear is what we would call bad news. Death, killing, accidents. So those folks who are not here, meaning alive today, we are hoping, that's all we can do, hope that they made it right with God. I remember listening to Brother Fraser some time ago, and he mentioned, which is true, that no one who found themselves in hell can blame God. There's always a time, a day, a morning, or an evening when the gospel was preached and they heard the message and they put it off. So there's no one in hell that can say, I'm here because I did not hear the gospel. Let us pray. Eternal God and Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how we thank you and we praise you for who you are. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, God, for the way in which you demonstrated your love towards us by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, to die on the cross of Calvary to redeem us back to thyself. Lord God and Father, we just thank you for this morning as we partake of the emblems. The loaf that speaks of his body that was bruised on our behalf. The wine that speaks of his blood that was shed on our behalf. We thank you for Calvary, as was mentioned this morning. We thank you for the cross where our Lord Jesus Christ was nailed on. We thank you, God, that for the crying that he made, the words that came out of his mouth, it is finished, meaning that man's salvation was paid in full. And that's why we are here this morning, because Jesus Christ paid it all. And Lord God and Father, we pray that if there's anyone in here that do not know you as their Lord and Savior, that they will come to know him before time changes to eternity. We give you thanks. We pray, oh God, that you will hide me behind the cross so that nothing of myself will be heard of or seen, but that Jesus Christ will be lifted up and glorified. And Lord God and Father, at the end this afternoon or this morning, you will receive the glory for yourself, and our hearts will be blessed. We give you thanks in Jesus' worthy and precious name. Amen. Let us turn our Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. I was going to read from 3 to 17 or 18, but I'm going to take it and I'm going to read the whole thing at once. Just going to read a few verses and comment on it, and then if time goes along, I will continue and read some more verses. John, chapter 3, verses 1. there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts. We give you thanks. Amen. Most of us know the story of Nicodemus. If you're a Christian, I know that we all know about Nicodemus. And one of the questions that always asked by some of us, or many of us, if not all of us, why did Nicodemus go to Jesus by night? And some of the Bible scholars said the same thing that we are saying, that he was afraid and he wanted to see Jesus by night, where most of his friends or his ministering group would not know that he went to Jesus. Why would he hide and go by night? The scripture said that Nicodemus was a teacher, and it doesn't mean that he was a teacher in school like how most of us went to school. He was a teacher in the temple. So if he was a teacher in the temple, he was basically teaching the word. Because of his position, it is safe for us to say that he was teaching the law. He knows much about the law. In his day, most of what took place in the temple was the teaching of the law. And Jesus, our Lord and Savior, always go in the temple on the Sabbath day. Remember, once he went and they gave him the book. And when he said the book, it simply means the scroll that they use in the temple in those days. And when Jesus finished reading it and gave it back to them, the scripture said that they look at him steadfastly, because Jesus said some things that they knew about it, but they wonder why Jesus would touch on that scripture. And most time Jesus would in the temple, and when he speaks, they would acknowledge him for the miracles that he did. They would acknowledge him for healing the leper, cleansing the leper, healing the blind man. And because of that, they regard him as a great man. But any time that Jesus talk about he is the Son of God, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to stone him. You remember when Jesus, they wanted to stone him, and he went through the temple. The one thing about Jesus, because he was God, the man, God, or God, the man, and he was also God, the Spirit. And when they wanted to stone him, he would walk past them like this, and they could not find him. He didn't have to run. Nowhere in the scripture tells you that Jesus ran when they tried to stone him. He was able to go through them, and they could not touch him. And once he did that, and there was a blind man at the gate. You remember him? He was blind from birth. And as Jesus was going through, he saw this blind man. And he asked the man, "What can I do for you?" And the man said, "That I may receive my sight." And Jesus took spit on the ground and used the spit and put on his eyes and said, "Go wash." And he went and washed, and his sight returned to him. It was on the Sabbath day. And the Jews said to this man, "Don't you know the man that's sitting here from birth, blind?" He said, "Yes." He said, "So how come you are now seeing?" And he said, "A man make spittle and put on my eye and say, 'Go and wash,' and I went and washed, and I came back seeing." And they said, "Where is he?" And the man said, "I do not know." Because obviously when Jesus did it, he was blind, and by the time he returned, Jesus was not there. And they asked the man the question, "Are you sure you were blind? You were born blind?" And he said, "Yes, I was born blind." And they asked him the question about three different times. The way it went, it's like the entire day was taken up about this man who was blind and now can see. And then finally they said, let's ask his parents. And they went and asked his parents, and the parents said, "Yes, we know he's our son. We know that he was born blind. But for how he be able to see now, we cannot tell. Ask him, he's of age." You know why they say ask him? Because his father and mother were members of the temple. And they did not want to be thrown out of the temple, so they said, "Ask him." They went back to him and they said, "Tell us again, how come you are now seeing when you were born blind?" And he went and told them the same story again. "A man made spittle, put it on my eye, and I went and washed and came back seeing." They asked him, "Where's the man?" He said, "I do not know." But finally, Jesus came back to him, and Jesus saw him seeing, and Jesus said, "Listen, go and sin no more." And Jesus said to him, "Don't tell anyone." But he couldn't hold his peace. And if it was you or me, born blind, and you're up in age, and you are seeing, you're not going to sit quietly. And then he pointed Jesus to them. And they asked Jesus, "How come you are healing somebody on the Sabbath day?" And Jesus said to them, "If you have an animal fall into a ditch, will you wait until the day after the Sabbath to take him out, or you would take him out now?" These are some of the things that Jesus did, and they like when he did it, but every time that Jesus said, "I am the Son of God," or "God is my Father," they could not believe it. So Nicodemus was one of those men. When Jesus saw Nicodemus, Nicodemus did not ask about salvation, but Jesus knew that Nicodemus been watching him and know that he, Jesus, is somebody that they might have been looking for. But the only reason why they did not believe in Jesus is the way he came into the world. Jesus was born in a stable. They knew that Joseph was not his father, because Jesus was conceived through the Holy Spirit. And they said to Jesus at one time, when Jesus talked about, tell them that who he is and that God is his father. They call him so many different names. At one time, they said to him, "You are a Samaritan." Now, saying to Jesus that he is a Samaritan is like say to any one of us here, most of what I'm seeing here, and use the N-word. Because the Samaritan and the Jews did not speak to each other. Remember the scripture said, when the Jews go in to a certain place, and if they go through Samaria, it would be a shorter way for them to travel. And the scripture said that they would go around Samaria, not going through Samaria, because the Samaritans were half Jews. That's why they called Jesus a Samaritan, because they said that Jesus was born of fornication. Could you imagine? The Son of God, who was made from the creation of the earth to be the redeemer of our sins. The Jews called him, said that he was born of fornication, because they did not want to believe that he was the Son of God. Now, most of these Jews, they read the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament, starting from Exodus. Then when God told Moses to tell them to kill a lamb, everything was pointing to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kill the lamb. The lamb was supposed to be put away for 12 days to make sure there was no spot on it. It was supposed to be killed, and the scripture said, if the lamb, every family should kill one. And if the lamb was too big for the family, they should get two families together. In other words, the lamb was never too small for the family. The lamb was always enough for us. That meaning, when the gospel is preached, the gospel is always adequate for as many people that are around. The gospel was never too small or not adequate for the world. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. And it doesn't matter how many of us, if you hear the gospel, you cannot say that because there were so many people there, I did not get my share. The gospel is always enough for the sin of the world. Now, when Nicodemus asked Jesus, you know that he didn't ask that if he could, what he should do to be saved. He began to tell Jesus that you come from God. Because no man can do these miracles that you do unless he comes from God. But Jesus, being God, he knew that Nicodemus needs something more than just to know that Jesus is a miracle worker. He knew that Jesus is from God, but he did not want to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Why? Because of the way Jesus came. They knew him as a carpenter, the son of Joseph. They knew his family, but they did not want to acknowledge him as the Savior of the world. Why? If Jesus was born of one of the high priests, one of those that minister in the temple, like Nicodemus himself, if he was born from a family like that, they would acknowledge him. Most of us remember many years ago, there was a very prominent Jewish leader from Eastern Parkway. He caused that accident because they were having a big march and a young boy got killed. Finally, he died, And where I was living in Queens is close to a Jewish burial ground, cemetery. And most houses at that time were adjoining the cemetery. And most of them, I used to say, when those people want to sell those houses, nobody going to buy them because it is a line or a joint to cemetery. You know what happened? After that man died, the Jews went and begged those people to sell them their houses. You know why? They believe that that man is the Messiah. And he's going to rise again. And they bought all of those houses. And one of the houses near close to where he buried, they built a big covering over the grave and have it led right into one of the houses. You know why they did that? So that when the man rises from the dead, he will not get wet, the sun will not burn him, he will just walk from the grave into that building. So they know that the prophet is coming, or should come. Not only the prophet, but the Messiah. But they do not believe, or most of them do not believe, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. A matter of fact, even those today who are worshiping and they look alike, half of them believe that the man that died is the Messiah. The other half believe he's a prophet. Therefore, you and I will not know, but they're constantly fighting among themselves because they put up a memorial for the prophet. And sometimes the others who believe he's the Messiah would fight with them and say, take it down, because he is the Messiah. And you do not put up a memorial for the Messiah. He's going to rise again. So they go back and forth to one another. But the most important thing, brethren, is this, that many of them believe today that the Messiah is coming. Praise be to God, he came already. And that's why we're here this morning. The Messiah came, and he did great things among them. But they did not believe. They acknowledge what he did, but they did not believe. And many of them today do not believe that he is the Messiah. You remember when Jesus went to Lazarus' grave? He delayed 4 days after Lazarus died. And then when he went, I believe the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus was a home, was not just a house. It was a home where a lot of people gathered. And the scripture said that many people were there. Most of them were Jews. And when Jesus finally turned up and Martha met him and said, Master, if you were here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said, your brother shall live again. And Martha said something like what we would say, oh yes, we know that in the last day, he shall rise again. Jesus said, Martha, listen carefully. I am the resurrection, and your brother shall rise again. You know what some of the Jews said when they saw Jesus? They did not give him his due. They said, this man who healed the blind. If he was here, you mean he could not have been here and prevented Lazarus from dying? When Jesus prayed, and then he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And they saw Lazarus came from the dead. You know what the scripture said? Many of them believe. Do you realize that that was the reason why Jesus tarried for 4 days? Because his purpose in this world was to deliver the message of salvation so that whether you are Jew or Gentile, you would receive him as our Lord and Savior. And the scripture said many of the Jews believed him. But he didn't stop there. He said many went away and planned to kill him. You know why? In those days, the Romans was reigning. And the Jews were subject to them, the Romans. And those that went away, they went to the leaders of the synagogue. And they said, "Listen, you saw what happened? If we let this man," you know who is this man? Jesus. They never call him by his name. They never give him the honor that he due. They say, "If we let this man continue to do what he's doing, we are going to be subject to the Romans. So we have to kill him." And all those times, they continue to plan to kill our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's why when Jesus talked to Nicodemus, he said, "Nicodemus, what you said to me is not exactly that you want to know. You want to know how you are going to go to heaven." And Jesus said to him, "Except a man be born again, he cannot." First he said, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And then the next verse he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." And Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born again?" And Jesus said, "Listen, he that is born of the flesh is flesh, and he that is born of the spirit is spirit." You and I know that born of water is not the word of God. It's not just going into the pool. Born of water, the water is the word of God. And so many times we come here and we listen to the gospel, or we preach the gospel out there. And sometimes when you ask somebody, "Are you a Christian?" One of the first things, it happened to me several times, they would say, "Yes, I was baptized." And many times I have to say, "I am not asking you about baptism. I'm asking you, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" If any of those young people or older ones who generally in the class that we prepare for those who are going to be baptized, I always tell them that the only thing that happened in the water is before you enter in, you were dry. And when you come out, you are wet. There's no miracle in the water. But there are some people who believe that if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ without baptizing, the job is not finished. You need to be baptized to be complete, to be completely born again. No scripture teaches that. Baptism is a symbol or a sign of what transpired with our Lord Jesus Christ. When you go down in the water, it reminds us that Jesus Christ, when he died, he was buried. And when he rose from the dead, it's like when you get up out of the water. It's just symbolizing what happened when Jesus Christ died, buried, and rose again. There is no miracle in the water. John the Baptist, when he was preaching, he made sure that he not only baptized the folks, but he preached a gospel message. I continue to preach the message. He said, repent. Change your lifestyle. He did not tell them, just baptize them and say, go ahead. He preached a message. And everyone who heard that message and believed were baptized. There were times when some of the people, like Nicodemus, went. And John the Baptist knew that they were not saved. And he gave them a message. He let them know that don't play games with your life. If you are not saved, even if you are baptized, you're going to pay the penalty of hell. John made sure that he told them that. Repent and be baptized. Everywhere you see the word repent, there's one thing that comes before: baptize, born again, or save. Everywhere in the scripture, in the New Testament, where you see the word baptize, you'd never see baptize and then repent. Peter in Acts chapter 2, when the people, those 3,000 souls, I think it was more than 3,000 souls got saved. When they heard the gospel, the scripture said that they were pricked in their heart. In other words, they were convicted in their hearts. And they said to Peter and to the other apostles, men and brethren, what must we do? You know what Peter said? Acts chapter 2. Let's look at it. I have all of those scriptures, but I didn't, because of time, I didn't turn to them. But look at Acts chapter 2 with me. Acts chapter 2. Chapter 36. Therefore, no, 37. Now when they, meaning the crowd that gathered, now when they heard this, what is this? The gospel message that was preached by Peter, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter answered and replying to them, 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. You notice he did not say baptize and then repent. He said repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or the removal of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You remember one of the first things I said is that no one go to hell because they did not know the gospel. Everyone that dies, if you should question them, if they, we don't have to question those in heaven, we're going to meet them. But if you should see those folks in hell, they would tell you the mistake that they made because they can remember. No one in hell with a lack of memory. Every person who die and go to hell have a memory to remember when they heard the gospel, but they refrained from trusting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Repent and be baptized. Folks, let me tell you something. Every day that we wake up, give God thanks that we are waking. Those of us who are believers, there's a reason why God kept us here to minister to somebody else or to let the word go out. But every day that we get up and you listen to the news, there are sad news. A few weeks ago, remember what happened in Florida? That building that crumbled, and all that comes out of it is dead bodies. All we can say, we are hoping that some of those people did know the Lord before they died. When you see what happened in Germany and the adjoining countries, hundreds upon hundreds of people died, not expecting that flood, died. Every one of them have to give an account. If they are believers, and I believe many of them are believers, they are with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to meet them again. But everyone that died and gone to hell, there is no hope. No preaching in hell. So if you are here this morning, and you might have heard the gospel before, and you say, listen, I want to be saved, I want to go to heaven, but let it stay until a later date. The mother and daughter somewhere in Queens last night and were driving and they met in an accident and both of them are dead. In Long Island, 3 or 4 people got killed in a park. And maybe since I start speaking, what is going on in New York now with the shooting and the car accident, they are saying that never have there been so many deaths by car accident. People are drinking, smoking, all kind of things, and are driving like they're crazy. Every day that you and I go in our cars, are walking on the street, we just have to say, Lord, preserve me, protect me. Death, and you and I do not know when our time is coming. But one thing we know, that we are going to die. We are going to die. And there's only one or two places that we're going to go. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, heaven is our home. If you die without knowing him, remember what I said, there's no preaching in hell. We all live out in Long Island. Many times I'm traveling further out there, and every so many blocks or so many miles that you drive, you see there's a memorial. Sometimes they put the flowers on the light posts, or they may put it around where the person died with a cross. If they do not put the cross, you see the word R.I.P. You know what the word R.I.P. means? Rest in peace. The cross simply means that they put over the grave or over where the person died is a reminder of Jesus Christ who died on the cross. You cannot rest in peace if you do not know the Prince of Peace. So all that along the way that you see those flowers and the signs and the RIP, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you die, there is no hope for you in hell. And Jesus Christ came and he did everything good. Everything that Jesus Christ did, all the miracles, the healing, was great. But the main purpose for him coming is to die on the cross of Calvary. the place, he took our place. You and I should have died like him. But you know why we didn't die like him? Sin cannot pay the price for sin. Jesus Christ is the only person that came to this earth sinless. The Son of God. He came sinless, but he went to the cross, and the pain that you and I should have felt, Jesus Christ felt it for you and for me. He paid the price fully, complete. When he cried out, "It is finished." It's not just that he died and he wasn't feeling pain anymore when he said, "It is finished." It is finished because the job was done. Salvation was paid in full. Jesus Christ died for you and for me. He died for the sins of the world. He died for the rich, for the poor. Regardless of what you have done in this world, maybe you might see yourself as a good person. You have never hurt anybody. But just like what Jesus said to Nicodemus, "He that born of the flesh is flesh." If Nicodemus was able to be born again, like he said to Jesus, when he born again as an adult, he would still be a sinner. But Jesus let him know, you need to be born of water and of the Spirit. The water is the word of God. That's why we give God thanks for those folks who are preaching the gospel every day. One of the things that happened in this pandemic is that the gospel message is being preached all over the world. You can turn on your radio to almost any country and get a solid gospel message. But here's the sad thing. There are some people who use the word of God for their benefit. All they are doing is using the word of God from the time they begin the message until when they close. You know what they are telling us to do? And praise God, I hope none of us in here will do that. There's one man who turned every scripture that he can find around to suit himself, that you must send him $1,000. And when you send him $1,000, how God going to bless you? There's another one who said he's a little more reasonable. He said, "Send me $60 or $65. But he warned 3,000 people to send him that money. The one with the $1,000 warned 3,000 people. And he's telling you how you're going to be blessed. He showed you every scripture that he can find. You know, like the lady in the Old Testament who the prophet turned the little oil into a whole lot of oil. He turned that scripture and he said, "Look how the lady's blessed." Every scripture he can find, he turned it around to prove, to suit himself. And then he tells us who watch him. I watch him sometimes because I want to see if he would change. And then he said, he came to Manhattan and he met a lady who sent him the $1,000. And the lady said, "Can I give a testimony?" And he said, "Go ahead." And the lady said, "After I send you the $1,000, I receive $1,000,000. No, I'm not going to say she didn't receive $1,000,000. But one thing she didn't say, how did she receive it? And then there's another one that she said, the reason why they didn't get the blessing that they should have gotten, they did not give it with a willing heart. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. One thing I like about Billy Graham when he was alive, when he preaches the gospel, he would tell us, "Give your church your tithe and send me a gift." We don't have to question Billy Graham. As far as I am concerned, he was one of the greatest evangelists that we ever had in this country. Yes, he said, "Give your church your tithe and send me a gift, for the preaching of the gospel. The scripture tells us in the New Testament, it doesn't really mention tithe like in the Old Testament. But he didn't tell you not to give a gift. You know what the scripture said in the New Testament? Give as the Lord prosper us. Give as the Lord prosper us. So if the Lord prosper me with $1,000 as my salary, and I give $5, am I giving as the Lord prosper me? Am I giving as the Lord prosper me? What? Only a few people, only a few answer me. Am I giving as the Lord prosper me? Okay. So if the Lord begin to prosper me based upon the $5, he can do that, you know. So when the Lord said, give, when the scripture said, give as the Lord prosper you, us, it simply means that give willingly. And don't, I remember in the early days here, I'm going to stop soon now. I'm going to stop. I asked, Brother Fred was here, and we were talking about, I said to the elders then, I was not an elder, young people's leader. I said, how come we don't preach on giving? Brother Fred said, Brother Allwood, we have you down to speak so you can preach on giving. I said, no, Brother Fred, I believe this should come from the elders. He said, no, Brother Allwood, you brought it up, so you're going to preach on giving. And I did it. And I was a trustee then, I remember. And two folks replied. One I know, and the other one, thank God, I didn't know. The one that I know is a very nice sister. She's gone on to glory now. And every time, every now and again, maybe a year passed, he would say to me, Brother Allwood, thank you for the message. It caused me to change my way of giving. The next person that I did not know, and I thank the Lord I did not know that person because I didn't want to come here and see anybody that I do not want to say hello to. That person said, look at him. He don't even get in the elders board yet. And he's talking about giving. Giving. But that's another story. We must give as the Lord prosper us. But go back to what I told you, what I saw on TV. Many of the preachers are preaching for themselves. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Many times they say how they are helping people in Africa and all over the world. There was one who made the tape and show and in the back of his building, showing him in Africa, preaching and teaching. And somebody caught up with him and realized that the tapes were made at the back of his house in America. Not preaching any message in Africa. But give as the Lord prosper us. Let's go back to the gospel. I'm going to close now. If you are here this morning and you never think of trusting the Lord, let me ask you a question. Are you sure that when you go through these doors, you're going to live to come back next week Sunday? Think about it. Based upon what is going on in the world that we're living in today, Jesus Christ, he died for our sins. And the thing about it, you do not have to tell anyone in here what the sins are. One thing you have to know that you were born in this world, and every one of us that born in this world, we were born a sinner. If you die before you recognize who you are, if you die as a baby, Jesus knows it. And just like what the scripture said of David, when David, little baby, died, David was praying and praying and praying for the baby to get well, and the baby died. While the baby was sick, David wouldn't eat anything. And when the baby died, he got up, he got a shower, and he started eating. And his servant said to him, boss, I just use the word boss, I don't understand what you're doing. When the baby was sick, you wouldn't eat a thing. And now the baby is dead, you start eating. And David said, listen carefully. David said, I will go to him. He cannot come back to me. Remember, I used the word baby. The baby was of an age when he did not know anything about sin. So when the baby died, God received him back into glory. Now, none of us in here, I don't see any baby in here. You are all that I'm looking at here are people who are of age, brother, men and women who are of age. That meaning you know what you did. Even if you feel that you didn't do anything, you are a sinner by birth. And Jesus Christ died for you. Heaven is a place prepared for those who confess their sins before God. And God never turn anybody who truly confess their sins to him. He is willing and able to save you. If you do not remember, let me remind you of one more person. Remember when Jesus was on the cross? The scripture said there were two thieves, one on the right hand and one on the left hand. And the one on the left hand said, save yourself and us. The one on the right hand said, leave him alone. We are guilty of the crime committed. He is not guilty. Leave him alone. And then he turned to the one on the right, turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, have mercy on me. You know what Jesus said? You think Jesus said, let me count up your sins? No. Jesus said, today, you shall be with me in paradise. The same time. So all you have to do is to, from the depths of your heart, say, Jesus, have mercy on me. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the man who died on the cross of Calvary, you know where he is today? He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and for me. If you want to go to heaven, said Brother Allwood, please pray for me. Please pray for me. And I will more than willing. There are other brethren or sisters here who, if you want to go to heaven, just say, Brother Allwood, please, I'm glad I come here today. There's no accident or there's no mistake by you being here today. God doesn't make mistakes. You are in the house of God where the message is preached. You saw, if you were here early, you saw what we did in what we call communion or breaking of bread service. Everything speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just said, Brother Allwood, I want to be a child of God. I want, when I leave this earth, to go to heaven. Hell have no door that you can open and leave. Anybody who finds themselves in hell, you are in hell for all eternity. And nobody knows how hot hell is. You may go home and you put your hand on the stove and it burns you and you quickly move like this. In hell, it is a million times hotter because you are paying the price for refusing to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Is there one person here this morning who said, Brother Allwood, please pray for me. I do not want to go to hell. I want to be where Jesus is. I thank Jesus Christ for dying for my sins. And I would like, when I leave this earth, to be with him. Is there one? I'm going to ask the believers just to bow your head and pray in the meantime to see if there's one person who wants to commit his or her life this morning to Jesus Christ. Nobody's looking around. If you want me to pray for you, just raise your hand and say, Brother Allwood, please pray for me. When I leave this earth, I want to be where Jesus is. Is there one person? When I leave this earth, I want to be where Jesus is. Remember, if you die after this morning and go to hell, you will always remember everything that you heard this morning about Nicodemus. The scripture did not say, yes, Nicodemus acknowledged Jesus because he went back to the temple. But you know what we discovered, Nicodemus? When Jesus died and they were about to take him from the cross to bury him, some of Jesus' disciples were not there. You know who was there? Nicodemus. We could use the word that he was a private Christian. He was quiet. Maybe he did not know how to go back to the temple and tell his folks that, listen, I met Jesus and I acknowledge him as my Lord and Savior. But the proof that Nicodemus was saved, he was one of those who helped to take Jesus down from the cross and buried him. And that tells us they're going to be, I believe they're going to be much more people like Nicodemus in heaven. That's that's where one of the big surprises is going to be. Some of the people that we think are in hell will be in heaven. So is there one person for Jesus? Let us pray. Eternal God and Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, how we thank you and we praise you for who you are. We thank you, O God, for sending your only begotten Son. We thank you, O God, for the day when he came. And before he started his ministry, he was baptized by John the Baptist. That day, that morning or that afternoon, God the Father said to God the Son, or to the people around, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. While the Spirit, the three persons of the Godhead were there, because the Spirit of God came upon Jesus Christ, and he was lifted up into the wilderness to be tested or tempted. So God the Son, God the Father, and God the Spirit approve of Jesus being baptized. And Lord God and Father, we thank you that after he was tempted or tested, he began to work. And the first thing he did was to appoint our disciples to carry on the work when he went back to glory. And Lord God and Father, we thank you for all the great things that he did. He did it to show us how to do it, and he did it to let us know that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. And Lord God and Father, we thank you for the 3.5 years that he spent on this earth and for all that he did. But Lord God and Father, the greatest thing that could ever have done is when he gave his life, a ransom for us, all the way to Calvary. He went for us. And this morning, today, we are free. Those of us who know him as Lord and Savior of our lives can say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Help us, O God, that we'll continue to tell forth the good news of salvation. And Lord God and Father, if there's anyone in here that do not know you as Lord and Savior, we pray, O God, that they will not leave this building without trusting you. They do not want to raise their hands. But Lord God and Father, you know their hearts. Help them, O God, to cry out to you and say, Jesus, save me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sins. Lord, we give you thanks. We pray, O God, that you will take us home in peace and in safety. And help us, O God, to continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray for those who are ill, those who need help, oh God. Help us to help those who we can help. We give you thanks in and through the worthy name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. And go in peace. Yes. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Brother Grant, you remember what you're coming, so you're going to say those words that you've said every time we close. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.